Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Wednesday, October 29th, 2014. And on today's podcast, we're going to discuss the Civil Asset Forfeiture Act and how the civil forfeiture laws are being applied in the United States today. Notice the term civil. That means it's not criminal. No crime has been committed. It's the law that allows the government to take your cash on the highways if you're carrying a large amount of cash, to loot your bank account if you deposit less than $10,000 on several occasions, or even to take your home when you have someone with illegal drugs come into your home, whether you know about it or not. The government has, from its very beginning, or close to its very beginning, seized property used to perpetuate a crime or produced by crime. The government must first convict the property's owner of a crime, which requires proof to a jury or the trier of fact, as a lawyer would say it, that convinces that jury beyond a reasonable doubt that all the elements of the crime have been proven. That's the way it is, isn't it? That's the way it's always been. No, unfortunately, that's not the way it is. Forfeiture today has been expanded beyond the criminal realm into civil cases, where the burden of proof is quite different. In civil cases, the burden of proof is not beyond a reasonable doubt. It is by a preponderance of the evidence, meaning it's more likely than not. The application of criminal forfeiture to civil cases has become so egregious that Congress enacted the Civil Asset Forfeiture Act of 2000. This act requires the government to take certain steps in order to keep seized assets. The process for the target of forfeiture, however, to appeal these seizures is so onerous and expensive that for many people, they simply walk away because it is also a due process nightmare. The problem typically begins with an alleged violation of the structuring laws. Banks are required to report to the government cash deposits of $10,000 or more. But if a depositor intentionally makes a series of deposits of less than $10,000 in order to avoid the structuring requirements, that constitutes the crime of structuring, and banks are required to report that as a suspicious transaction. The property owner receives no advance notice of the seizure. He has no opportunity to participate in the warrant hearing. Once his property is seized, he may file a claim which could then provoke a criminal indictment, or at the very least, high legal cost. As a result, many victims just abandon their property and walk away. Often, there is no underlying crime of money laundering, drug trafficking, or anything else, and there is no intent to structure. Quite often, the victim of these seizures doesn't even know about the structuring laws. The business owner receives cash every day for his business. He deposits every day. And normally the deposits are less than $10,000 because his day's receipts are less than $10,000. The IRS steps in and seizes all the money in the business owner's account, thus making it difficult or impossible for him to continue in business. The government, federal, state, and local governments have been stealing innocent people's bank accounts for a long, long time. But a recent theft came to the attention of the New York Times. Since criminals are quite often aware of the $10,000 limit, they, quote, structure their deposits to avoid it. Banks are then required to file suspicious transaction reports for deposits of less than $10,000. Last year, banks filed over 700,000 such suspicious activity reports. The Times goes on to report that owners caught up in structuring cases often cannot afford to fight them. The median amount seized by the IRS was $34,000, while legal costs often exceed $20,000. So it is Mr. and Mrs. Middle Class that the IRS is going after, those who can't afford to fight. The case that provoked interest by the New York Times was that of a lady named Carol Henders of Arnold's Park, Iowa. For 40 years, this woman has owned and operated a cash-only Mexican restaurant. She deposited the fruits of her labor in a bank a block away. Last year, she was informed by IRS agents that they had stolen $33,000 from her bank account. She was not accused of any crime. No indictment was forthcoming. They just want the money because they know she's done nothing wrong and she cannot afford to fight it. Under pressure, however, from the New York Times, the IRS announced that it would, quote, curtail its theft and instead would steal only money where there is evidence of wrongdoing or, quote, exceptional circumstances. So now they say they'll only take your money if they have some evidence of wrongdoing. That's mighty nice of them, isn't it? The agency pointed out, though, that structuring is still a crime. The law allows law enforcement agents to keep a portion of the money they steal. This perverse practice has led to more than 100 multi-agency task forces combing through people's bank reports, looking for accounts to seize. What could Congress do about all this? The IRS is not the only problem. It's government from top to bottom. But Congress could abolish the IRS. That would be the ideal solution. They could end sovereign immunity for IRS employees who steal people's money and who commit crimes and who target political opponents. They could end their sovereign immunity, thus making them subject to individual suits for their actions. They could end civil asset forfeiture, not forfeiture necessarily for criminal activity, but forfeiture that is, amounts to nothing but government stealing. Congress could end that if they so wanted to. They could also make political targeting a crime. These are all things that Congress could do. This administration, though, has demonstrated its willingness to target its political opponents and to send waves of IRS people out to do so. What could be done about it? Well, who knows? We've got an election coming up. Maybe something will happen. But in the meantime, folks, watch your bank accounts and don't structure. At least that's the way I see it. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.